Thank you. It's good to see you all here. Whoops. Okay. Thanks for joining us for the final portion of Friends for Nonviolent World's report day. If you're new to FNVW, please feel free to browse at the literature table and learn a little bit more about us. Tonight's speaker, as you all know, is Larry Pinkney, who will be speaking on building linkages in the struggle. Larry is a former leader of the Black Panther Party. He's the only American to have received an official ruling from the United Nations declaring that his civil, political, and human rights had been violated. He is currently an instructor with Metropolitan State University and Minneapolis Community College. In talking to him, he mentioned a few of his courses, which really make me want to go to MSU, like political radicalism in Southern Africa, things I think people are quite interested in. And sounds like something I'd like to hear about, and I'm glad we get a chance to hear from him. He is the former program associate and co-facilitator for the Personnel and Community Empowerment Program in St. Paul, Minnesota. Pinkney is also a student of international relations at the University of Minnesota and has been politically active in the United States, Africa, and Europe. Finally, he worked for the Zambian Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Lusaka, Zambia, and in Stockholm, Sweden. Pleased to present Larry Pinkney.
Thank you very much. I'd first of all like to say that it certainly is with a profound sense of pleasure. It's also with a great deal of urgency that I express to all of you my own gratitude at being asked to address this gathering this evening. Throughout the day, many of us have been spending time seriously looking at how we can combat concerns such as racism, sexism, militarism, hunger, poverty, the proliferation of drugs in our society, and the disease known as AIDS. These things are really an awesome undertaking. In point of fact, this undertaking is the most pressing of undertakings that humankind has yet been challenged with. Racism, sexism, militarism, hunger, poverty, the proliferation of drugs, the disease known as AIDS, all of these things are life and death concerns. And brothers and sisters, all of these things, all of them are linked. Now, it is not a question any longer of your issue versus my issue, or their issue and our issue. All of these concerns are irretrievably linked. We have got to begin to draw the connections between the American foreign policy, a policy of military aggression and expansion in places like Nicaragua and El Salvador, and the American support of the brutal system of apartheid in South Africa. We have got to start drawing the connections between these things. We must come to understand that America's external policies are but a reflection of its internal policies right here at home. Amen. We must come to understand that the growing racist attacks against people of color in Howard Beach, New York, Detroit, Michigan, recently the University of Massachusetts, in Chicago, Illinois, right here at McAllister College in St. Paul, and yes, here even in Minneapolis, Minnesota, that all of these acts are not coincidences. They are, in fact, the reasons behind why the American government and the Reagan administration in particular does not lift a finger to abolish the racist apartheid government of South Africa. All of these things are combined, here and abroad. Our foreign policy is but a reflection of our internal policy. understand all of these things are linked. We have got to understand that Ronald Reagan and his entire administration are anti-people. Let me repeat that. Ronald Reagan, his entire administration, and his party are anti-people. They are anti-you, and they are anti-me. They are anti-us, and they are anti-people. America, as astounding as it may sound, has a government which has become the world's slop jar. A government where the president and his administration openly flaunt their racism. We have a president who is anti-women's rights, anti-people of color, and anti-peace with justice. I repeat. We have a government which is anti-humanity and which supports the very zenith of hypocrisy, brutality, and profit. It is no wonder, then, that this same president, in this same administration, a member of this same political party, it is no wonder that this same president opposes the passage of the current civil rights bill and has pledged to veto this civil rights bill. It is not surprising, it is not astounding, for this is the same president who supports, who props up apartheid in South Africa. There is no contradiction. There may be a lot of confusion, but there is no contradiction. Again, I would like to repeat that we have got to see the links between apartheid in South Africa and racism here at home and sexism here at home and hunger and poverty here at home. We have got to see the links. We cannot afford the luxury of being divided on these life and death issues. When we look, for example, at the deplorable situation in Nicaragua, we see America supporting a group of murdering, raping, plundering bandits, many of whom were former members of the Somoza dictatorship's bloody National Guard. And yet we have a president who calls these murderers what? Freedom fighters. What we have is a president and a government with an enormous credibility gap, but not only an enormous credibility gap, but we have a president and a government with an enormous sanity gap. For such actions are unequivocally insane. Then this same president turns around with the unmitigated arrogance of an alley cat and dares to proclaim to America and to the world that he, his administration, and his political party wants peace in the world. Sisters and brothers, whenever you hear them use the word peace, let me assure you that it is spelled P-I-E-C-E, not P-E-A-C-E. As Adolf Hitler once said when he was addressing the old organization called the League of Nations, Nazi Germany wants peace. A piece of France, a piece of the Soviet Union, a piece of the world. When we hear this administration speak in terms of peace, they are talking about taking, not giving. Let me remind you that there can be no real peace, P-E-A-C-E, without justice. For the two are linked. There can be no peace if there is no justice. We have a president, an administration, and a party which claims to be pro-family. Yet this is the same president, the same administration, that massively cuts Head Start programs for children, lunch programs for children, Medicaid, Medicare, Meals on Wheels for senior citizens, AFDC, and the list goes on and on. As I said, we don't only have a credibility gap, we have a sanity gap. This is insane. The policies that are occurring, that are taking place here in America, are directly linked to the policies of brutality in South Africa, Nicaragua, El Salvador, Korea, and throughout the world. Recently, we have been hearing and seeing in the American news media more about the proliferation of drugs in this country. Also, we've been hearing a lot more about the disease, the very debilitating disease known as AIDS. What we have not been told is that our government could do much, much more without infringing upon the dignity and the individual rights of people to effectively combat both drugs in this country and the terrible disease of AIDS. We're not told that. We're not told what our government is not doing. Instead, our government blames the powerless. Moreover, the news media and the government of our country have subtly and often blatantly stereotyped people of color as being responsible for both AIDS and for drugs in this country. Now, it does not take a genius to realize that the drug trade in America alone is a multi-billion dollar industry. Black folk and other people of color in America are not reaping the benefits of a multi-billion dollar trade, let me tell you. Instead, we are being destroyed by it. The news media has implied consistently, for example, that Haitians and Africans are responsible for AIDS in this country. And yet, black people, African American leaders in particular, were virtually ignored by the Reagan administration when they attempted to press that administration to deal with the concern of AIDS as a disease affecting all people irrespective of gender or ethnic background. They were ignored. We must understand that the external American policies of brutality and callousness are a reflection of our internal policies. What we do to the world is also what we are doing to each other. We have got to put the brakes on. We must understand that all of our concerns are interlinked. They are not separate issues, and the government and our media would love to have us believe that they are separate issues. They are not. This is 1988 in America, and still we don't even have the ERA. This is 1988 in America, and we don't have an Equal Rights Amendment. Why the news media and the government would have us believe that women are better off without ERA. They would have us believe that the ERA is strictly beneficial for women. And I can tell you that both of these assumptions are untrue. They are not based in fact, and they are well-perpetuated lies, disinformation. The fact of the matter is that the ERA is needed by women and men, adults and children. Again, I say, all of our concerns are interlinked. They are not separate issues. This is 1988 in America, and the Oliver Norths and the John Poindexters and the Jean Kirkpatricks of the country are weaving networks of national and international intrigue that trample upon and ignore the fundamental rights of humans. This is 1988 in America, and our telephones are tapped. That's right. The telephones of private citizens are tapped. Electronic surveillance of private citizens is now at its height. Agent provocateurs are sent into churches and other peaceful groups opposed to American foreign policy in Nicaragua and South Africa. And we are told by this administration and its surrogates that things have gotten better. Indeed. Better for whom is the question? Not the vast majority of people in this country. Better for whom? Better for the bloodsuckers of humanity. Better for those who place profit, that is, legalized thievery. Better for those who place profit above the interests of humans, above the interests of hungry children, above the interests of poor people, homeless people, above the interests of what is left of the American working class, above the interests of babies and young children in South Africa, Nicaragua, El Salvador, and right here at home. All of our concerns are interlinked. They are not separate issues. We have an attorney general, Meese, whose name should be Mouse, and then maybe we could build a mouse trap big enough for him. But we have an attorney general, Edwin Meese, who acts like a military general gone mad, who respects law only when that law is in his interest and serve his purposes, and whose selective memory of his own financial affairs would astound even Al Capone. And we have a vice president in this country, George Papadoc Bush, as Gil Scott Heron would call him, running around talking about how his record vindicates him. His record. Well, I suppose it does vindicate him in the eyes of racists, profiteers, and the lethargic. Now add to this evangelizing fool, Pat Robertson, who is waging his political campaign with the racism and fire and brimstone of the 13th century crusade. His subliminal message is quite simple. It goes something like this. Might makes right, and God just has to be white. That's his subliminal message. This is America, 1988. I repeat, all of our concerns are interlinked. They are not separate issues. It is 1988 in America, and big American corporations in collusion with the American government are taking jobs out of the country and bringing drugs in. At the same time, they're telling us that we should hate the Japanese, hate the Koreans, hate the Africans. We are repeatedly told that it's the communists, the Africans, and other people of color who are the cause of our economic ills. We are told that, for example, here in America and throughout the world, that women do not have enough sense to know what their basic economic and political interests are. We are told that people of color in America, and especially African Americans, are just, quote, minorities and should be thankful for the so-called, quote, progress, unquote, that they have been allowed to make in America. In other words, America is a little lamb. It is blameless. It is the innocent little lamb that just happened to systematically build a system of racism. It just happened to become the planet's foremost military power, being the only power that has actually used nuclear weapons in war. It just happened to support bloody dictatorships throughout the world in the name of God, of country, of freedom, and democracy. In other words, sisters and brothers, none of these realities at home or abroad are we supposed to have the common sense to start linking. Why is it, for example, that our media and our government never makes those links for us? Why? Well, simply stated, it is because if we began to make these linkages, then we began to understand that all the policies of our government, both foreign and domestic, are directly interconnected. Do you know how many schools, child care centers, and medical facilities just one aircraft carrier is worth? Just one. Do you know how many lunch programs, drug rehabilitation centers, and libraries just one B-1 bomber is equivalent to? Did you know that jobs unrelated to the military industrial complex, that is, jobs unrelated to the building of bombs, missiles, warships, and warplanes, did you know that these jobs contribute more to the national security of this country than any of those weapons that I have named? That jobs unrelated to the military industrial complex. That's right. Jobs in education, medicine, social care, farming, the peaceful use of technology, these are jobs that contribute to peace, to stability, to democracy, and most of all, these are jobs that contribute to specifically domestic and foreign justice. And there can be no national or no international security without justice. Think about it. These are the same jobs that are the most underpaid, are they not, in our society? And yet these are the jobs wherein the very national security of our country and our world are based. Remember what I said earlier about the sanity gap? You know, it's not so funny when we realize that we too have been caught up in this gap of insanity. Every time that we fail to realize that racism, sexism, poverty, and hunger here at home are directly related to the maintenance of apartheid, militarism, and general instability abroad, then we are contributing to that insanity. When we fail to realize the linkages, we must be constantly aware of the fact that our issues, our concerns are interlinked here and abroad. We cannot speak out and act out against apartheid in South Africa or the insane American policies in Nicaragua and simultaneously ignore racism, sexism, poverty, homelessness, and hunger in America. These concerns are all legitimate concerns. But they are all interlinked. The late James Baldwin wrote, and I quote, "The price of liberation of the white people is the liberation of the blacks, the total liberation in the cities, in the towns, before the law, and in the mind," unquote. This is still true and pressing in America. But we can expand upon what Baldwin wrote by saying that the liberation of Americans from the racists, from the profiteers, and the lethargic in this country is a major step towards the liberation of people all over the world, because the issues and the concerns are what? Interlinked. Now, the right wing in America has united behind insanity, behind lies and behind subterfuge. Progressive people in America, those are people in our communities, our towns, our schools, our farms, and in the streets, must unite behind the common objective of linking our issues together in a clear, concise, and simple fashion that is not pretentious. We must speak in terms that everyone understands and that everyone can relate to. This is our task. This is our strength. This is the most pressing of undertakings before all of us here today. We must establish viable, tangible links. And when we disagree with one another, and yes, there will be times when we will disagree, but when we disagree with one another, we must have the good common sense to do so with honesty and with discretion. Don't disagree so that the right wing will step in and take advantage of your disagreements. Use good common sense. We must begin to define our terms to one another. Now you might say, well, what do you mean? Everybody understands this. No, everybody does not necessarily understand this. The farmer may not understand how the same government that is throwing him off of his or her land is the same government that is responsible for pushing drugs in Panama. Okay. The woman who is the single parent having to support her children may not understand that as those big bombers are being built and those aircraft carriers are being built, that money and food is being taken out of the mouths of herself and her children. It is up to us to draw those links. It is up to us to speak in terms that everybody can understand and relate to. So when I say we must define our terms to one another, I mean precisely that. Don't assume. Let's define to each other what we're talking about. We must be willing to share information with each other. We must remember that the forces of insanity that we are seeking to dislodge will not be willingly dislodged. They're not going to sit back and say, dislodge me. They're profiteers. They are living off of the blood and the sweat of humankind. We must begin to understand that those persons that we are seeking to expose and those policies that we are seeking to expose will not willingly cave in. Indeed, these are the elements that will employ violence and then blame us for the violence in an effort to try and discredit us both individually and organizationally. They will lie, they will cheat, and they will seek to turn us one against the other. Now, since we know these things, there's no need for us to become paranoid. Rather, we must become discerning. We must be discerning. We must be honest with ourselves. And most of all, we must remain determined. We have got to learn our lessons thoroughly from recent and not so recent history. We must understand that Ronald Reagan and people like him have never been great communicators. They've been great liars. That's all. It's nothing unique about dishonesty. In fact, in our society, it has become all too common. It is our task to expose those lies to people and to do it in such a fashion that they will understand and will relate to what we are saying and why we are saying it. Now, we are all bound to make mistakes in this charge, in this struggle of ours. But when we learn from our mistakes, when we learn from our mistakes, they become excellent object lessons. They become signposts for us. And yes, we can do this. We have already begun to do this. Remember, linking our struggles together is really nothing more than explaining the obvious to one another in a fashion that all of us can understand, and then coming together around common objectives which affect us all. That's all it is. We must practice making linkages in our minds. Now, whenever we hear of an injustice here or abroad, think to yourselves, how can I make a link with what I'm hearing, to with what I know is happening in my community, in my town, in my city, my state? For example, what do you think of when we hear the term violence? When you hear the word violence, what do you think of? Well, many of us tend to think of a physical attack of one kind or another. Yet, in reality, violence has many forms, especially in America. Now, when we think of violence, we should be aware not only of the terrible military violence or police brutality, but we should be aware of the insidious and debilitating violence of racism, the violence of homelessness, the violence of hunger, of sexism, of poverty, the violence of greed. For these things are terribly violent. Oh, yes. And millions of people, both here and abroad, die as a result of these forms of violence. So let us link them all together. See what I mean about linkages? It's not tough. You can do it. We can do it. In fact, we all must do it in this struggle. Now, in conclusion, there's one last point that I'd like to address. All of us have heard the term minority applied to the indigenous native people of this country, to African Americans, and to other people of color in America. Well, think about this for a moment. If you were sitting in your living room with, say, three or four family members or friends, and two people came and knocked on your door, you opened it, and they proceeded to shoot their way into your residence, killing everyone but you. Then they took over the house and relegated you to the basement. How would you feel if, when you sought to do something about this despicable act, that you were told you were, after all, just a minority, and therefore you should really be quite grateful for being alive? Think about it. When Europeans came to this continent and used a combination of trickery and outright murder of the indigenous people to, quote, colonize this continent and then brought Africans as slaves to do the manual labor. This is akin to the example that I just gave to you about sitting in your living room. The term minority is both demeaning and inaccurate as it is used in this country. I'm going to say that again. The term minority is both demeaning and inaccurate as it is used in this country, in our society. The indigenous people, the native people, did not refer to the Europeans as, quote, minorities when they came to this continent. And to my knowledge, there were no affirmative action programs established by the indigenous people for the Europeans, who were in fact the numerical minorities at the time. Now, I'm certainly not attacking or opposing affirmative action. I am, however, emphasizing that the expression minority, as it is applied to people of color, is demeaning, inaccurate, and divisive. People of color are humans, not minority humans, humans, with the same capabilities, the same capacities for excellence as European Americans. In fact, people of color are not at all minorities when we look at the entire planet. And think about it. Our struggles are struggles that affect not only America, but they affect the entire planet. Now, I would suggest that we reassess the usage of this term minority. Our struggle, all of our struggles, irrespective of ethnic background, is one that must be careful to be as united as possible, watching out, being wary of demeaning and therefore divisive terms. For these very terms have been used in the past to play us off against each other subliminally, unconsciously, but extremely effectively. I want you to know that I have truly enjoyed speaking with you this evening and being here. I take this as a challenge, and it's been a pleasure. We've got a lot of work to do. We've got to do this work together. We've got to draw these linkages together. I know of no more appropriate words to conclude with than the words of Frederick Douglass when he said in part, quote, "If there is no struggle, there is no progress. Those who profess to favor freedom and yet renounce controversy are people who want crops without plowing the ground," unquote. Indeed, sisters and brothers, an important part of our plowing in this struggle is the linking of our issues and concerns in together. Linking them together in order that our fruits will be the fruits of true peace with justice and will be the fruits of sweet, sweet liberation, both here and around the world. Ours is a most urgent task. For as the black woman poet Georgia Douglas Johnson wrote, she says, "My pathway lies through worse than death. I meet the hours with bated breath. My red blood boils. My pulses thrill. I live life running up a hill. Ah, no, I need no paltry play of makeshift tilts for holiday. For I was born against the tide and will conquer that deny. I shun no hardship, fear no foe. The future calls, and I must go. I charge the line and dare the spheres as I go fighting down the years. Truly, brothers and sisters, ours is a struggle to ensure the future of all humanity. We must do this as we go charging down the years. Lasima tushende mbile shaka. We shall succeed without a doubt. Thank you.
Thank you.
Know what it means.